This is Phil Ferrand. And I am driving home. It is episode 56. And it has been a very exciting day today. Holy cow, it has been an exciting day. This was the big day. The big rollout. We have been working towards this day. The weather has been absolutely gorgeous here, but inside the car, it's a little warm, so I'm going to put on the air conditioning here. It has been the culmination today. Now, Edward, I'm not exactly sure whether we're completely culminated, but I think we are. It has been the culmination today of Lance, 3-4 years worth of work. Today was the final step where I manually cut away from the legacy code that has been processing the transactions. We've been working on a big contribution processing system, and we started out taking over the data entry area, and then we took over the adjustment area and continue to ship things up to the legacy system and bring them back down from the legacy system. We started taking over reporting, took over receipting. Basically, we had taken over everything. And the last piece of it was to no longer receive information back from the legacy code, but just go straight across with our code and do a complete process without the legacy code ever touching the data. So that was today. We're still shipping information up to the legacy code because we're going to let it continue to do its process for a while and to produce totals, and then we're going to look at those totals and cross-check them and make sure, you know, that all looks good, make sure we haven't missed anything some silly along the way. But today was the day. So I just got done doing that. Jesus was very good to me. I was planning on starting that at about 5:45. The legacy cycle starts around 7:30. And I got everything ready, and I was ready about 3:30 to take off and try it. And I thought, you know, I might as well get started. I just thought I had this little whisper to do that. As it turned out, I needed a little extra time beyond what I thought was I was going to need, because I hit a little bump, but the way it all turned out, it was fine. So anyways, it's about 6 o'clock now, and I'm actually leaving to head home, and it's all done and sitting there, and this evening we'll pull some totals, and then we'll cross-check. Anyway, so that seems to be going fine. I didn't feel like I really kind of wrapped up very well last week. Hopefully you got the idea I was trying to get to, but I don't feel like I really landed it. I like to land things. Last week we were talking about the anatomy of wonder. And we were talking about the attitude where a person says, well, I'm not going to believe anything that's not rational. I'm not going to believe it if I can't experiment with it and deduce it and follow quote-unquote logical conclusions and rationally evaluate it. I'm just not going to believe in anything but that. And I had said at the time that when the person says that, what they're really saying is something along the lines I'm actually at a stoplight and I can read my notes, that the entire universe is required to exist in such a way that my observational skills are competent for the task and my cognitive abilities are adequate to analyze my observations. In other words, the entire universe is required to exist so that I can make sense of it. Now then, what's interesting about that attitude, if you really look at it, in my mind, there are two potentials with that attitude. Either that person is extremely narcissistic, or there's something else going on to try to convince that person that that's actually a true statement. But this is the person who has said they're not going to believe in anything that's not rational. And yet, the very statement that I'm only going to believe in things that I can figure out and I can figure out everything I need to in this life, that's not really a rational statement. Because there's tons of stuff we don't know. And we may at any time encounter something that we thought we figured out that we haven't figured out, or encounter something else that we can't figure out. So to say, oh no, I'm only going to believe in things that I can believe in rationally, and that's what the universe is going to be like. I'm going to be able to believe. That's kind of an irrational statement to make because you have no way to prove it. On the flip side, it's interesting from a rational viewpoint because there might be another way to justify it, to say that the universe really does exist for me to discover it. And so that once that becomes the true statement, the universe really does exist for me to discover it, if that's what we really believe, and it's not just narcissism, there's not really any rational way to establish that belief either. So it's really difficult to say that the idea that everything in this universe can be approached from a rational mindset, it's really difficult to take that belief and say that that's a rational belief because there's no way to prove it one way or another. And yet, people believe it. And they believe it because they're telling you that's what they believe. I believe everything that needs to be known can be known rationally. And yet, that belief itself is irrational because there's no way to prove it. So anyways, that's kind of what I was getting to. I've had a lot of little things on my topic list of things that I could talk about. I have, in addition to all those things, I just finished Michael Pollan's book, In Defense of Food. That was very interesting. Had some interesting stuff in it. And we may have to do another food topic at some point in the near future. Because I've tried to take another little tact with my life, and it seems to be working out fine. But since today was the big day, I got to thinking, and I thought, you know, I should revisit this whole idea of adventures and quests and epics, and mostly revisit the idea of being bold. I would just encourage you in your life to be bold. Now, that I don't mean be filled with bravado. I don't mean be reckless. I mean be bold. This process that we did today, that I did today, has been the culmination of years of planning. It has been the culmination of weeks and weeks of paralleling, checking totals, checking stuff right down to the detail level, making sure stuff is lining up. There has been a lot of work that has gone into making sure that the numbers all make sense. We just didn't wake up one day and say, well, let's try to take over and see what happens. I mean, everything that I could think of that needed to be checked has been checked. Now, in spite of all that, when you get to this point where you're actually saying, now we got to push the button, typically what the flesh will do is start its hooga booga 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 stuff, you know, and just drive you crazy with this, oh, I sure hope this works, hooga booga booga. But it's kind of like taking a test. When I was in college, my philosophy was prepare for the test, study for the test, don't cram the night before. Make sure that you're ready to go, and then walk in and take the test. And typically, I would do very well on the tests because I was prepared. And because I was prepared, when I walked in, I was ready to take the test. I wasn't necessarily hugely nervous or anything like that. I think a lot of life is like that. If you'll listen to what God is whispering in your spirit, He will help you to understand how to make preparation so that you're ready when you have to push the button. And when you do get ready to push the button, if your flesh starts going, hugga bugga bugga bugga, and all that kind of stuff, just tell it to sit down and be quiet. and remember that God has brought you to this point. I've also found that in this particular rollout, in this particular process, while there has been some stress that I've felt a little, it has not been the same as it was even when we were deploying the receipts or when we were rolling out the data entry stuff or the adjustment modules and those kind of things. And I attribute that to the fact that in all the data control processes that we've been watching day after day, I've turned it into a game. We talked about this several weeks ago, that every morning when I get up, I go in and I say, will it be victory or the challenge? Because there's not really a question of whether we're going to lose. It's whether there's victory now or we have the challenge that we have to get through to victory. And I have found that in doing that and in making some physical response when there's victory, putting my hands in the air and going, woohoo, you know, that actually helps put a stake down in the ground and a memorial on all of those days. And it helps you to remember, you know, yesterday was okay, and the day before that was okay, and the day before that was okay, and the day before that was okay. And you know what? I think we're going to be okay. So I think all those things have helped, and it has helped through this process. And it's been interesting to see the difference that there has been in terms of my stress levels in going into this particular one. And even when I hit that little bump today, in one part of the process, in looking at it, the immediate response was, it's okay, just calm down, let's see where we're at, move forward, figure out what you're doing, get it fixed, move on. You know, there isn't this stuff, which is really good. In conjunction with all this be bold stuff, I have been party to several conversations recently that have had sort of a recurring theme. And in fact, I was party to an experience that could have spawned one such of those conversations from me. I think it was Wednesday morning. I'd gone downstairs getting ready to exercise. I had powered up the Xbox because I used it as a media extender for my media center. And so I was going to turn on a recorded show and hop on my Nordic track and do a little exercising. And I couldn't get connected to the media center. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. So I went over to the media center and I noticed that McAfee had downloaded a big update. And I went, oh, okay. And I worked for like an hour that I did not have. I worked for an hour trying to get it. I could not get it connected. Absolutely could not. So I finally just gave up. Wednesday night, got home, worked, could not. I was doing all the stuff you're supposed to be able to do, could not. Finally, I just uninstalled McAfee antivirus, well, Total Protection it's called. And it had that computer protected. So I just uninstalled it, went with the free antivirus stuff from AVG, turned the Windows firewall on, and got everything then connected. I read this morning that, in fact, McAfee accidentally released a new version, a big update, and it was quarantining some vital processes, and it was bad. I mean, I was reading about one university, like 10,000 of their computers had gone down. And so I went, oh, well, that's what that was. Now, I could have gone in on Wednesday and said, oh, stinking McAfee people, I can't believe this. I'm trying to do something. Because I've been in conversations over the last week where, you can't believe these people deployed that. That didn't work with you. Another conversation that I was in was talking about hierarchies and how there's some stifling of creativity in hierarchies and those kind of things. And the thing about it is, in what all of this shares in common is the hierarchy. We like to think as humans that if we all get together and work on something together, and we build these very complex structures, that especially the ones that rely on technology, that if we build all these complex structures, that then everything's going to be great and smooth. But the fact is, it's not. Because even the technology stuff has a human component in it of a political dynamic. I talk a lot to my buddies about managing the political dynamic, and a friend of mine also talked to me about managing the organizational dynamic, and those are all very important things. And what happens is when you put your faith and trust in any human hierarchy, sooner or later it's going to disappoint you. It's going to happen. And if you're working within a hierarchy, the chances are sooner or later you're going to do something wrong, or somebody else is going to do something wrong. And so in the quality of boldness, you have to, first of all, do your job as well as you can and not be afraid to step out and do the things that need to be done, but at the same time recognize that there is a lot of wild cards when you're in a hierarchy that are impossible to control. And this brings me back, and I came back around to this in some of the conversations I've had this week, because, for instance, I was listening to a report about how more women than men are now graduating with higher degrees in education, and yet women still only earn 80% of what men earn. And that's not right. But my response to that is the same response that I have when anyone starts complaining about hierarchies. And that response is, you know, you're not really going to change anything by complaining about that, because you have no control over that. And so if you put all your hope and your trust and your dreams in hierarchies, you have invested your hope and trust in dreams in something over which you have very little control. Now, you might think, well, I'd have control if I was the owner. I'd tell people what to do. One of the rude awakenings that managers have when they get put in charge of people is they realize that they don't have that much control over people. I mean, you can fire people, but you can't make them productive. You can encourage them to be productive. You can try to create an environment of success for them, but people get to make their own decisions. It's free will. And so what happens as the hierarchy grows and grows and grows and grows is, inevitably, you are going to have a set of people in there who have their own ideas about how productive they should be. And there is a drag and a noise level that starts getting created in those hierarchies, and you just have to work within that. And so any dreams and aspirations and hopes and things you may have for what you're doing inside that hierarchy always have to be tempered against the inherent noise that's in the hierarchy. And this is why I don't really put many of my dreams and hopes in hierarchies. I'm a consultant, and I have the advantage of going in and just saying, what do you want me to do today? I will do whatever you want to do. If you want me to set focus, if you want me to say, I think we need to do this next, I'll do that. But you know what? If you have a better idea, or you have another idea about what you'd like me to work on, I will work on that. It is no big deal. I am not emotionally vested that people have to do things my way and in my manner and call it by my terms and all this. I am just there to do the best job I can do and move forward from day to day. I'm getting my mail. On the other hand, I do have things in my life which I am invested in, which I do derive a great deal of joy and pleasure out of, and those are the things that I consider to be my epics and my quests and my adventures. One of those things is my relationships with other people. It's those dinners that I go out and have with people. I derive a great deal of satisfaction and growth and enjoyment out of having meals with people. Another of my epics that I derive a great deal of satisfaction from is my writing. And frankly, I don't really care if 1 million people read me. I'm backing into my garage.
I derive so much joy out of writing and creating that I do it even though I don't make any money at it. And in fact, it costs me money. But I don't care because it's so fulfilling, because it's part of my epic, it's part of my quest. In addition to that, I'm working on this super secret project now, which is a manufacturing real hard product. And that's been a hoot. It's part of my epic. It's part of my quest. I'm doing that. We're getting ready to launch a new remake of KnitCentral.com. I got to do that with my daughter and son-in-law. We're having a blast. I'm having a blast doing it. Obviously, we'd like to make a little money on it. We'll see when we get up, see how many viewers we have, yada, yada, yada. But there's a whole different involvement and dedication that I have to those things, to my writing, to the super secret project, to Knit Central, to my wife, to my family, to my friends, than I have to my work when it's within a hierarchy. Because that work within that hierarchy, there is only so much that that environment can allow me to invest in. And sooner or later, that environment is going to say, no, don't do that, do this, move over here. And, you know, that's fine. I'm happy to go in and do that. But it's not really something that I have any control over. And I don't expect to have control over it. And I don't expect that that work within the hierarchy is going to satisfy me and provide me a great deal of enjoyment. It's not that I'm not appreciative of the work that I have. That's great. I'm very appreciative of the work that I have and the salary and money that it pays me. I'm very appreciative of it. But if it were possible for me to do other things like writing and Super Secret Project and Knit Central and those things without, I would not have any problem going in tomorrow and then starting to taper off. I couldn't stop because it would be a bad starting to taper off those things, and I would not miss it. I would miss the people, and I would miss the relationships that I've made with the people, and I would continue those relationships, but I wouldn't necessarily miss the work. And in chatting with this with a buddy, we got back to the definition of the epic and the quest and the adventure, and the reminder again that we all need something that's an epic, that's a quest, that's an adventure. And it's easy for us to think that working within a hierarchy is that. And honestly, I'm not sure that it is. You can make whatever decision you want, but I'm not sure that it is. Because the definition for me of an epic and a quest and an adventure is that your epic, your quest, your adventure is that thing which only you can do. It is that thing that no one can stop you from doing, unless they kill you, but that as long as you're alive, no one can stop you from doing it. And it is that thing that if you do not do it, there will be a gap in the world. And so from that perspective, when you look at hierarchies and you look at the way work has to be done within hierarchies, I think it's easy to conclude that finding an epic, finding a quest, finding an adventure is not, if you're trying to find those things, the first place to look shouldn't be your work within a hierarchy, because that's just your work. Now, you may find that the relationships that you make within that hierarchy are part of your quest and your adventure, because you may find that there are people who would not have the kind of friendship that they would have with you if you did not step out and become their friend. And so that fits the definition. It's the thing that only you can do. It's the thing that no one can stop you from doing, and it's the thing that if you do not do it, there will be a gap in the world. One of my buddies this week supplied me with an additional definition. And I think it's a definition that can tell us how great the scale of satisfaction will be in any epic or quest or adventure that you embark on. And as we were talking, and he was kind of struggling with the idea a little bit because I wasn't explaining it so well, he said, wait, so you're saying that it's the stuff that you start from scratch? And I said, yeah, that's it. The most satisfying epic quest or adventure is going to be that thing that you start from scratch and you build it yourself. And I'd encourage you today, in whatever endeavor you're in your work, do your homework. But when it comes to the point that you're ready to push the button to quote-unquote take the test, be bold. Understand that God has led you to that part, that point, everything's going to be fine. And then secondly, if you don't have an epic, if you don't have a quest, if you don't have an adventure in your life, something that is uniquely yours, find something. I mean, I'll tell you right now, if you're married, I gotta wrap this up. I'm going long. If you're married, your beloved should be one of the greatest quests and adventures of your life because you are the only person that can love your beloved. And if you do not do it, there will be a gap in the world. Your children should be one of the great epics and quests of your life. And honestly, both of those things fit the definition of what will be most fulfilling because both of those things start from scratch. When you meet the person you're going to marry, you start a relationship from scratch. When you have children, you start them from scratch. But you should also look around in your life and see if there's an area of interest, something that you can build, that you can invent, that you can learn, that you can create something that you can create that is yours. Because those are the epics and quests and adventures from which you will derive the greatest satisfaction. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.